Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. We're here at the RSA conference in San Francisco with Randy Abrams and Jeff DeBrose from ESET. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Matt.
Oh, good, thanks.
So, you know, one of the things that I know we talk about often on the program is social networking and some of the security risks around those sites. Recently, there was a website that popped up called pleaserobme.com. Can you tell me a little bit about that site, Randy?
Sure. It actually was based out of one of the founders' experiences of almost being robbed. He was home when a burglar tried to break into his house, and he thwarted it. But he thought, what if I wasn't home? And then realized that a lot of people are tweeting, I'm not home. And there's a service called Foursquare, and it tracks where people are at and seems to interface with Twitter. So what you get is this automated, here's where I am, or people just simply tweeting, here's where I'm at. Well, pleaserobme.com just took these tweets, this location information, and started posting it on a web page. So it's a consolidated source of public tweets saying, I'm not home. And, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily that bad. If the person is using a fake name and it's not like first name, last name, and they don't say what city they're in, and very few people know them, and they've got trustworthy friends, well, maybe there's not that much risk. But recently on Google Buzz, which Google Buzz gets a lot of people that just post their tweets there, I saw this one, and it said, I'm heading down to such and such place, New Jersey. And it had a first name and last name. So I did a Google search and found four different social networking sites that this person was registered on, and I was able to, with a high degree of confidence, say this is the same person. They live in New Jersey, they have this name, all the sites have the same occupation listed. One of the sites had a telephone number as well. So then I did a reverse lookup on the telephone number, and I found the woman's address. And also that reverse lookup told me that I don't know if it's a brother, father, or husband, but there's also a gentleman that lives at that address that has the same phone number. So if I'm a potential robber in New Jersey and I'm filtering on, you know, potential hits in New Jersey, I know, okay, I better case this place and make sure he's not home too, or give a call first and see if he's not home, but I know that at least one of them isn't there. And then I buzzed this woman back and said, based upon this information, I know your phone number, I know where you live, and I know that there's someone else that lives there too. And this is all because you tweeted this one message. And she replied back, I had no idea I was sending out that much information with that one tweet.
Wow. So, I mean, Jeff, obviously this site is trying to prove a point, but is it a good way to go about it, or do you think they're creating more risk?
You know, one of the things that I have a problem with on different social networking sites, new ones or existing ones, is, you know, they operate in a model where they want to build a larger network for each person, and they want to increase their value. So it's kind of like, you know, someone who works for your organization or in your organization having a fiduciary responsibility, so they're going to help you in a certain way. Well, they feel that they have a responsibility to themselves, to their own business model. So what they do is on their security settings, they're usually incredibly lax. So whatever you do is usually exposed to a tremendous amount of people. I haven't seen new social networking sites come up that have very strong restrictions by default, right. And then you can opt in on whether you want people to see some of your information. So that's one of those practices that I just find that should be changed. And if the industry does it itself, that's a good thing. If people start deciding, or companies start deciding, yeah, well, we should do this by default, instead of it coming down from, let's just say, a federal mandate or a state issue, where they're now told, well, if you're, you know, starting up a certain site and you have users on your site, you now have to start doing this by default. It's always much better, and it's much more friendly if you take the action yourself. So if companies don't start doing that, that may be what they get hit with. They may get hit with mandates because people are experiencing a lot of data leakage. Where we have, you know, there are stories of, like, one woman who, and I won't pick on specific sites, but her ex-husband you know, found her on a social networking site and was able to track her associates, which, you know, indicates who she's close to or what have you. And it created a bit of a problem for her. And another woman who has a lifestyle preference, and it was very private to her. But because she was purchasing content that was related to this, it was also published in what that site considered material that other people might be interested in that would perhaps fit her demographic or be within her circle, and it impacted her severely. And it is currently an ongoing lawsuit. So we have these incidents. So not only does a company lose money, but the impact it has on that individual's life is fairly severe. So now other people have to think about these things. And it really, a lot of times, comes down to folks not really reading those policies on how information is being disclosed and used. And there's that simple point that I bring up a lot of times, and it's non-judicious disclosure of personal information, which creates a tremendous amount of heartache for some people. Because you'll have a page that asks for your profile information, and even though it may have 30 fields, it may actually have asterisks on three of them and say, hey, these are required to create a profile, but people feel compelled to fill out all that information. So, you know, my advice would be to start looking at some of those profile pages and finding out, what do you really have to give up in order to create that profile, and do you want to give up any of the additional optional data?
Randy, going back to your example with the woman who wasn't aware of how much information she was actually giving publicly, do you think this is a common problem? Do you think end users are aware of how much information they're really giving up?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's been a couple months ago now, I did a blog on the ESET blog site about what does the world know about you. And I gave an example of another person who, through a public post, I just pick random people sometimes, say, what can I find out about them? Was able to find out what company she worked for, where that company was located. A really kind person, a big supporter of charities that help children, you know, but just a plethora of information. Even at some point, and I emailed her and let her know I'm changing the name and all that, but you might want to read this, and said, I actually found that you live near this place. And she said, well, that's old, I've moved since then, I bet you can't find me. And I said, well, I'm not really motivated to find out where you live, but since you're living in the same city that I live in, it probably wouldn't be too hard to tell you if I wanted to find out where you lived.
Right. No, it's definitely scary, the amount of information that's out there. And I think, Jeff, to your point, you should, and end users should be cognizant of how much information they're putting on the web and how much do they really need to be putting on the web. So, well, if you have any additional questions on this topic for Jeff or Randy, feel free to email them at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant from the RSA Conference, and you're listening to the Malware Report.